Hey friends, welcome back to the Journal Feed. My name is Nick Zelt, and this is the only place where I get to supply to you emergency medicine literature. Recent articles appraised and concisely summarized for your benefit. Now, if you are hearing this right now, then you are not currently a Journal Feed subscriber, and so you will not be receiving the full Journal Feed podcast, only getting a portion of the past week's articles. Don't worry, they're all good ones, but if you would like to get access to both the podcast and the blog in full, then you'll have to become a member. All the details for that are at journalfeed.org. And remember, if you ever have any trouble affording a subscription, just get in touch, we'll help you out. This is the audio version of the past week summaries, which this week were brought to you by Vivian Lay, Laura Murphy, Chris Thom, Seth Walsh Blackmore, Caitlin Nicholson, and Clay Smith. Okay, let's get straight into the first article titled Low Perfusion and Missed Diagnosis of Hypoxemia by Pulse Oximetry in Darkly Pigmented Skin, a prospective study, out of the journal Anesthesia and Analgesia. Racial inequities have been a huge topic in recent years, with race as a variable being removed from calculators and tools that we would normally be using in medicine. Now, this has been a helpful movement with the goal of not letting established tools perpetuate racism in the medical system. But risk calculators, a lot of the tools we use, these are often, you know, used with the understanding that they're not perfect. The results are often taken with a grain of salt. But there are other things that we take to be objective, tools upon which important clinical decisions are frequently made. I'm talking about pulse oximetry. Oxygen saturation is very much a vital sign, and it's got a lot of clinical weight behind it. Now, these awesome little light-up probes, they measure oxygen saturations based on how much of that glowing light is absorbed and the frequencies that are reflected back to the sensor. This is a photometric device, so it's pretty obvious to think that it could be affected by changes in the colors of people's skin. It's actually a bit appalling that these devices were licensed without appropriately testing them across the whole range of skin tones, but that's a problem for later. We've already covered on the Journal Feed before that there is clear racial bias in the clinical setting, which is the most important setting, but it's a little bit messy. These authors did a controlled study on healthy volunteers across the range of Fitzpatrick scale skin tones, measuring their pulse oximeter readings and the corresponding arterial oxygen saturations at controlled levels of hypoxemia. This is arguably something that the manufacturers should be doing, and hopefully will be doing in the future. Now, these authors went as low as oxygen saturations of 68%, so they did a pretty big range of hypoxemias. Now, the pulse oximetry levels that were measured were significantly altered by skin pigmentation, with errors being larger when there was low perfusion and darker skin colors. This was also the first study to show bias in just medium dark skin tones. Anyways, they used two different pulse oximeters for their measurements, the Masimo Radical 7 and the Nellcor N595. What matters most to us is when there's a clinically significant difference in the values. Like, I don't care if it's 65 or 75, like both of those are low and it's bad, right? But what matters is when you're around 90. The authors represented this as the times that the true saturation was less than 88%, but the pulse oximeter reading was above 92%. For some reason, they mostly hid this data away in the supplemental figures, despite even saying themselves how important these results were. It looks like in the setting of normal perfusion, that pulse oximeters are likely not going to steer you wrong. The valuables are actually quite reliable. However, in the case of a low perfusion index, then the Masimo model would have falsely given values over 92% despite saturations below 88% 30% of the time. That's a pretty big deal. The Nellcor model had a miss rate of only 8%, which is still a lot, but it's not nearly as much. It seems which model of pulse oximeter you use can make a huge difference. All in all, it seems like in the majority of patients, your pulse oximeter should be working just fine. So all those triage vital signs in the ambulatory setting, they're probably trustworthy. However, in the case of low perfusion states, if important decisions are reliant on oxygen saturation levels, then consider verifying the numbers with an arterial blood gas. In a spoonful, in a controlled hypoxemia study, pulse oximetry was falsely elevated in subjects with darker skin pigmentation and low perfusion. And then we skip to the fifth article, titled Kidney Injury After Minimal Radiographic Contrast Administration in Patients with Acute Coronary Syndromes, from the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. Now, contrast-associated kidney injuries, one of the banes of my existence. Here's my personal opinion on the matter. I often say aloud that it doesn't exist, because that's the simplest way to kind of sum up my opinion in a single short sentence, and it's a little bit inflammatory, and I like to be a little bit inflammatory. My true opinion is a little bit more nuanced than this. What I really think is that for the purposes of emergency medicine, contrast-induced nephropathy essentially doesn't exist. Is it truly the case that contrast never causes AKIs? Well, probably not, maybe not. How can it exist and yet it not matter? Well, I'll tell you in a second. This here is the Remedial IV trial, Renal Insufficiency Following Contrast Media Administration Trial IV. A randomized, single-blinded trial aiming to identify whether a reduction in the amount of contrast media used for cardiac catheterization would make a difference in the rates of AKIs. This trial randomized 550 patients with STEMIs, or high-risk NSTEMIs, undergoing invasive urgent cardiac catheterization therapy to either a normal contrast group or a reduced contrast group. Those in the reduced contrast group accomplished a significantly lower volume of contrast media via the Divert Contrast Media Diversion System. This study was not funded by the company that makes this device, and how it works doesn't really matter to us and is partially proprietary. But all to say that it reduces the amount of contrast that is needed for coronary angiography using an extra bit of tubing. There was a mean contrast load of 95 milliliters in the reduced group and 160 in the control group, so a pretty decent spread. This resulted in a significant reduction in the rates of AKI, 16% versus 24%, so an absolute difference of 8%, as well as lower rates of sustained kidney injury, a similar margin of 7.7%. There were no differences in mortality or adverse outcomes associated with the use of this diversion device. Okay, now back to my point at the top. I just told you that this study, an RCT, seems to show better outcomes with less contrast media. There's a dose response, and there's a temporal effect. It's a plausible thing to happen. These are all things that point towards causality. So why doesn't this really matter to us? Well, our patients are typically, on average, I'm going to say less sick than an acute STEMI, making for lower risk. Also, the volume of contrast we need for our scans is typically much less than what's used in coronary catheterization. These factors add up to kind of tip the risk-benefit greatly in our favor. I think it's reasonable to not use contrast when it's not indicated, but if the patient needs a contrast-induced scan, then they should probably get one. In a spoonful, in patients with ACS and need for urgent intervention, randomization to a lower contrast load seems to reduce the rates of AKI and even sustained kidney damage. And that was the last of our articles from this week, so let's do a quick wrap-up. From the first article, in a healthy volunteer study, pulse oximetry has an important skin color bias, but the clinically relevant part may only be in patients with poor perfusion. And then the fifth and final article, a rare RCT on contrast-induced kidney injury shows lower doses of contrast media caused less injury in the context of cardiac catheterization for ACS, though this probably shouldn't alter your practice in the emergency department. Again, if you were hearing this right now, then you're not a part of the members feed, and so you missed three articles from this past week. What were those three articles about? Well, thrombolysis prior to thrombectomy of large vessel strokes isn't helpful, but what if you could do it really quickly? Then a reanalysis of the SELECT 2 trial looking at really big strokes. And then finally, we did a quick primer on Bayesian statistics. Links to all the original texts of the articles summarized can be found at journalfeed.org. Just follow the links in the show notes. Our goal here is for you to read less, learn more, and save lives, one spoonful at a time. Thank you.